Now you see why I like to come to Port Lavaca. I get to hear all those nice things about me. Our lesson this morning is, where do we stand with God? In Proverbs 14 and verse 34, we're told that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is a great nation that we live in. God has blessed it abundantly. That little band of people many years ago in the beginning took on the greatest power that the world knew, Great Britain. And with the providence of God, somehow or other, they won their independence. This great land in which we live, they made and passed laws on the principles that comes from the Word of God. This land in which we live, if we was to plant and grow food on all the places that we can do that, we could feed the world. You know, there's countries that because of the soil and the climate can't grow certain food. God has blessed this nation over and over again. In my research, I read where two or three of them said that God has blessed this country more than any other country in the world since it began. We do have tremendous blessings from God. We have many minerals that's under this ground. We can grow about anything we want to. We live in the land of the free and the brave. What a wonderful place this is that God has given us. What a joy it is to live in a place such as this. There are people that fight to be able to come and live where we have all these great blessings. I could go on and on. But now I'm going to say something that I do not like to say. Bothers me and hurts me that our country has fallen this far. We have turned our back too many times upon the Lord. In this country, our Supreme Court, urged on by a bunch of atheists, threw God out of the schools. I didn't know you could throw God out of any place. But we have thrown him out of the schools, and he still has not been able to get back in there. We have killed 56 million unborn children through abortion. We have in the United States between 700 and 75 thousand, between that and 800,000, registered sex offenders. We passed a law that I could not believe that we would do that. We passed a law in this country for same-sex marriages. The Bible teaches us that that is an abomination in God's sight. We also know that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for that same lifestyle. When I researched Sodom and Gomorrah in preparing this lesson, I found out that archaeologists or no one who tries to go and find where some place was, no one has ever been able to determine where Sodom and Gomorrah was. They don't know whether it was on that side of Jordan or this side of Jordan, and they have never found one piece of material in the ground where they can prove that it came from Sodom and Gomorrah. I suppose when God destroyed that, he destroyed everything. In this country where we live, over 50% of couples live together without the bond of matrimony. Now, brethren, I can go on and on. We're living a time in this world where people are more interested in pleasures, in money, in toys, in things, than they are in God. People do over and over things that prevents them from serving God and even attending to the worship of God. I don't know whether you know it or not, but throughout this great country, religion is losing, all churches are losing members. People are just not interested anymore. They have other things that they want to do. If I have an opportunity to go fishing or play golf or take a trip or whatever, I don't let the Word of God or anything about God stand in my place. But make no mistake about it. One day Jesus is going to appear upon this scene. And he's going to judge the United States. And brethren, that includes us. We're going to be judged. You know, the Lord said that he wants us, in Matthew 5:16, to let our light shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. We need to be about doing good works for the Lord. In Revelation 14:13, it says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yea, from henceforth saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Jesus said in 22:12 of Revelation, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his works. Now, brethren, what if I don't have any works? The Lord expects his children to work in his vineyard, to be about the Father's business, to do good for others, to love others, be kind, be interested. Take advantage of the opportunities we have to share Jesus with them. When I go in and study with people, and Ann and I, before she passed away, we had spent our entire married life, 59 years, knocking doors. We didn't lead a lot of people to Christ. We led some, yes. But you know, when I left, I knew I had done what the Lord had asked me to do, to go share Jesus. He didn't tell me to convert anybody. He told me to be kind, to do it with love toward others. And that's what I need to do. You know, we're told in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, 13 and 14, where Solomon said that our duty, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. And I like the version that says the rest of this. That is the responsibility of everyone. What? Fear God and keep his commandments. Brethren, just because we obeyed the Lord in the beginning don't mean that we can sit down by the roadside and just let the world pass us by. Do we not understand that Jesus suffered and died for us? if you will study about Jesus' crucifixion and what happened to him, it'll break your heart. They hit him in the face with a fist. They spit on him. They cussed him. They made fun of him. And they beat him with a whip. And they almost killed Jesus because he could not carry his cross. They had to have someone carry it for them. And then they drove those nails and spikes through his hands and feet and pierced his side. Let me tell you right now, Jesus did that for us, for you and for me. Don't you think we ought to show our love to him by doing the things that he expects us to do? The Lord expects us to use our time, some of our ability, some of our money, some of our efforts for his cause. We're told in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, God speaking, God said, "It is I that giveth thee the power to gain thy wealth." We don't have one thing, houses, cars, money, bank account, we don't have anything that was not provided for us by the great love of our God. Let me read you what three Christians said. T.B. Larimore said, "What men need is a very little, and they don't need that very long." N.B. Hardiman said, "Death and decay and the passing away is written upon the wings of time. One day, all of us are going to be gone." Everybody in this assembly, no exceptions. One day, we're all going to be gone. You know, David said in Psalms 90, "The days and the years of our life are 70, if by reason of strength 80, but they are filled with trouble and sorrow, and we still must fly away." He said also in that same chapter, "Lord, teach us to number our days." You see, the Lord wants us to be aware of our time is short, and we need to be making preparations for the future now. We can't just wait until the end and hope to be able to make those preparations. God gives us this time, but he wants us to know that the time is short. George Dehoff said, "Everything we have seen today is dying, and all must die, except the eternal God. One day we will all say goodbye to what is here, and then we will pass into the hands of the great creator of all mankind." Brethren, the Lord wants us to be happy in our Christian walk and Christian life. It is the greatest life in the world, but we will never know it as long as we are attached to the things of this world. Christianity is great. I've lived on both sides of the fence. When I was young, I lived one way, and then when I grew up and obeyed the Lord, I have lived another way, and I can tell you that there's nothing that can compare with the Christian life. Nothing in all the world. How much happiness do you think Judas had with those 30 pieces of silver? Well, we know he didn't have any because he hung himself. He thought he was going to have a good time with them. How much happiness do you think that Achan had with those Babylonian garments and that gold? God told him not to take any spoil from where they was in battle, but Achan did. You see, he disobeyed God. He didn't get to enjoy them. The earth opened up and swallowed Achan and his family and everything he owned and then closed back up. How much happiness do you think Ananias and Sapphira had by holding back that money that from the land they sold? Do you realize the Bible says that all of them gathered together and decided among themselves that they were going to give, sell land and give the money to the apostles that they could provide for all the poor people and the ones that needed help. Ananias and Sapphira agreed with all of that, but they held back. Peter said, well, it was your money. You could do whatever you wanted to. You didn't have to give it. You could have given part of it. You could have done what you wanted to. But they lied to the Holy Spirit, and it cost them their life. Brethren, we are never going to have joy and happiness in our life until we obey the Lord and we begin to live the Christian life. The Christian life is the greatest life. You have God on your side. He is with you. He will help you, and He will guard you. It's like someone told me not long ago, if you haven't tried it, you don't know about whether it will or not. But I can tell you that we have a great God. A great God. When my wife was told that she only had 4 months to live, I began praying fervently. I prayed on my knees, crying. I prayed every day. I prayed all the time. And I prayed that God would not let her suffer, which she was, and that He would give her 2 or 3 more years to live. God took away her pain and her suffering. And God told me in His word, you will see her again someday. We, brethren, have a great, great God. Peter said that we need to be careful how we live because God will one day judge us. Listen to what Amos says. There will be no way out of the situation that we're in if we're not right with God. And there will be no way out unless we are not right with God. Brethren, in these perilous and difficult times in which we now live, the responsibility of Christians is very weighty and heavy. Our role is clear, and our faith is essential. Where do you stand with God? When all these things were taking place in America, did you do like me, just stand on the side and keep your mouth shut and not have anything to do? Or did you let it be known where you stand? We need to stand with God. I believe, and I have voiced this with some of the brethren here already, I believe that we in America have already passed that place of no return. We've done too much. Just some of the things I told you in the beginning of the lesson, how horrible they were, that's what we've done, and much, much more. I believe that all that is left for us to do is, as Christians, to live righteous lives. And if we have enough Christians in America to live righteous lives before God, God may be like He was with Sodom and Gomorrah. If I can find 10 souls there, I won't destroy it. Maybe if we have enough Christians, God won't destroy it. Brethren, don't anybody be fooled thinking that we can just keep on going the way we're going. doing the things we're doing, turning our back on God, passing laws that absolutely throw it in his face and expect all to be well. Are you a child of God? You can become one by putting your trust and your faith in God to repent of your sin. Live no more the way you want to live. Live the way God wants you to live. Be willing to confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue, Jesus, precious Jesus. And then to be buried with your Lord in baptism, you might come in contact with the blood that he shed on Calvary, to have your sins washed away, raised from that watery grave with all your sins forgiven. And God said, I will give unto you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians, the first chapter, we're told that the gift of the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee of our inheritance with him. Don't you want that? I hope that you do. If there's things amiss in your life as a child of God, I hope you'll have the courage and the conviction to step out that aisle and come down. I told you before when I've stood in this pulpit, there was a time back in my life that I had to do that. People who knew me and loved me and my family and my friends, I had to step out and come down, and I confessed to God, and they witnessed that I had sinned in his sight. There was people that thought old David was just one of the finest people there were, but they didn't know the life that I was living. If there's things amiss in your life, come to God, start your life over, be pleasing to him, and you will never regret the day that you have come and given your life to God. No one, not anyone, stands taller in God's sight than that one who will bow their knee at the foot of Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?